What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely.
So stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront, The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. There is no doubt that in Africa, as in many parts of the world, the past couple of decades, more so the last two, we have gone through tremendous social changes. These changes manifest themselves in many ways, but there's a consensus that the most important of these changes has to do with the gender dynamics as reflected in the roles men and women play. And we are talking about roles in the economic and political spheres of their societies. Experts agree that gender is still a key factor that influences who generates income in a home, who does the housework, issues of governance of society, etc. So it's clear that we are far away from the days when important socio-political roles were the domain of men. As a matter of fact, all across the continent, women hold political positions and run local economies. So we can't anymore overlook the role and influence that women play in their societies. Which then brings us to the question of traditional roles at home and in the larger society. For many years, agricultural and industrial civilizations assigned one's role based on gender. That meant that even though women often played equal roles and were equal breadwinners, they also often influenced decisions, including the important ones, being the primary caretakers of a family unit. They never really received due credit for their part. But that is changing, and studies show that the majority of young men and women today would prefer to share both work and domestic duties equally with their spouses and also take equal credit. This egalitarian understanding of society is a far cry from the largely patriarchal societies that preferred to credit one gender over the other. Let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
In terms of education, I will assure you that women play a bigger role than men in terms of upbringing children for the future. My father doesn't know my class until it's safe to go and ask my mother, now this boy is in which class. In terms of policy making, because of the customary and the traditional background, men dominate.
Generally, the African belief is men are powerful in making decisions. But as time goes on, we are seeing that a lot of work actually is done by a woman.
I'm called Charity Jambala Suba in Juba, South Sudan, a Southern Sudanese lady. According to me, it's a woman. I'm saying this because women are the key factor in the family, actually raising up kids in the family. She does everything possible to make the kids go to school, to eat, or take them for medication. But a man, if he decides to drink or get another woman outside the family, if you're not a strong woman in the house, you leave your kids to suffer and die yourself too. So I prefer woman is better. If a woman does something good, they will not consider it. They will say, you're just a woman. You're a mere woman. You have nothing to say in this society.
Although I know there are other sectors that a woman on their own cannot do, but I think women are more powerful than men. Even if you look around the world, you see that most of the leaders that have been ruling, most of the times you find that they are very, they have got a woman in their home who is most vocal, pushy, and you find that these politicians behave so badly because they are influenced by women.
It would be a one-one situation. What I mean is that my mom had to take care of me by maybe preparing, if it was the food which my father had given her. So it's hard anyway to say. But in my own example, maybe I would rather say that my mom took a center stage because she was the one maybe saying, well, you know, you have to be strong. You know, you meet this. Maybe when I come back to school, more especially when I was young, she would say, sit down here. This is 1 + 1 = 2. Unlike my father, who was just very busy by that time, maybe searching for money that I should go to school.
Thank you all for joining us today on Upfront. We love having you on board. Let's look at this as one of those battle of the sexes discussions. Who is stronger, men or women? Who has a stronger impact on the family in terms of upbringing? Who affects policy in our society? Who plays the real nurturing role? Who plays a bigger role in your education, your mother or your father? And can we really trace the source of this dichotomy? Is it plausible that in this day and age we have such a conversation? Have we had a complete about turn in the roles, the traditional roles that we saw before? We don't live in the 1800s anymore. It goes without saying that men bring it, as it goes without saying that the role of women is as important, or if not more important, in society, in the home, in the business, etc., in the family.
And thank you very much, Nadia, and thank all of you for contributing to the show. If you're just joining us, we're exploring this issue of gender roles, gender dynamics. But we want to talk about this issue of the head of the family. If traditional gender roles are changing, is there still such a thing as a head of the family? If women and men both control resources, both hold corporate jobs, they pretty much play the same roles in and outside of the home. So I convened a little panel in studio here of young students.
I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves.
I'm Solomon Ni Abu.
I'm Rebecca Jones.
I'm Nyla Oliver.
I'm Frances Stevenson.
For me, with my parents, they did the similar things. Like, my mom cooks, but also my dad cooks because he's a chef as well. And so my dad would clean the house just as my mom would clean the house. So I grew up not feeling like I, as a woman, had to do certain things that our society thinks that women should do.
So because your dad was a chef, mm-hmm. so you grow up knowing that men can do the same things as women.
Exactly.
What about you, Nyla?
Mine is kind of like along those lines, but in the other way. With women, I grew up in a single parent home, so my mother did a lot of what you would consider womanly roles and men roles.
She played both a man and woman at home.
Right.
Okay.
So
she was like both the father and the mother
exactly.
at the same time. Okay.
So I feel like I guess I can do anything, and it really isn't like a specific.
All right. What about you?
Nyla and I share the same experience. Mm. I also grew up in a single parent household, and so I understood women in a very unconventional light, you
right.
know, and not traditional in any sense, because I saw my mother do everything.
Okay. Now, your generation, obviously, very different from the generation of your parents.
I feel like as I grow up, there won't really be a difference. Like, with the generations now, everyone does everything. And I feel like I don't have to, like, stick to one list of just, like, women roles, and that I'll be able to do everything just by seeing what we have today in the world.
Why is that? What is it that has empowered women to be able to play the roles that were traditionally the male domain?
I think the feminist movement, really, that branched off from what was initially focused on white middle-class women, kind of influenced that. You know, women's suffrage. Mm. And then from that point on, it was Black feminism,
right.
and then it was, you know, lesbian feminism, and then it was Chicana feminism, and then Asian feminism. So I think that whole feminine movement influenced it. But before then, I think, like, the women's suffrage movement really did influence it.
So is there such a thing as traditional male and female roles in your understanding?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And what are those?
Well, obviously, I think that when you have a young man at home, you need a man to train a man. And that has been the canker for most of the families around, because people grew up in single, like, parent homes where they don't have the man at home to be the man who would other things to be done. So as a result, most of the young guys behave in some ways that you realize, and they tell you, I don't have a father, I grew up with my mom and all that. So there are some roles that, irrespective of the changes in our society, men would have to play that role. Because if the man is at home, there's some kind of discipline from the children.
Just because I had my grandfather, I mean, my grandparents were there as well. So I feel like I still was able to see what those traditional male roles were, like, say, cutting the grass or something like that, you know, and while my grandmother and my mother would cook. So I feel like I still was able to see and understand what those traditional roles were, even though I grew up in a single family home.
So again, the question is, are there traditional roles? Are there roles only men can play and women can play? Rebecca? Do you feel like there's things that you can't do but men can do?
Kind of. I think our society is growing towards equality, but it's at a slow movement. I'm a film major, and so if I do decide to go into Hollywood, I know that there is an issue where not enough women are represented in that industry.
Right. And but it doesn't mean that women cannot direct.
No, it doesn't mean that, but it's just harder for them to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a problem of entry. Like, I mean, there's still a very slow entry for women in some of these places, but it doesn't mean that women cannot play these roles. Are you guys raised to understand, you know, gender roles, gender dynamics in that way, in that sense?
Okay, I'd want to just make this point before I go to the main question, that we can be equal, but we have different expectations and differences. Because the fact that I'm equal to you doesn't mean I can do exactly what you can do. Mm. And so that's why the argument and the call for equality among both sexes, there's also the differences and the expectation from people in terms of their genders. Okay. And that is very important. For me, I never got that kind of experience. Of course, I grew up in Ghana. So my experience is the man has to be the man. He has to go to work, come back home, and then provide for the family. Mommy has to be there to cook for the kids and all that. Mm-hmm. But then I think education and then trying to learn from different cultures and different perspectives, like, actually widen my scope. Now I love to cook. So even though I'm trained from a typically African home, I don't have a problem cooking if my wife is sitting.
Right.
I mean, I love to do it.
Well, when he mentioned, like, raising the child and how a father figure in the home really helps with young boys, I feel like that's some things that women can't do as well. Like, I feel like you do need somebody. Do you need a man in there to do those roles? And maybe that's something that women can't necessarily do. No. Well, I wouldn't say at all, but just complete it to the fullest of how.
But does it mean that kids or boys who were raised by single mothers really missed out on a lot?
Or
they don't grow up to be responsible, productive members of
society?
I
don't think so, because there are other people that can influence them, church members, you know what I mean?
Right.
Other people in the community. So I don't think, like, just being raised in that single parent home by a mother would change who the boy grows up to be, other than someone else, one of his friends that grew up with a man and woman in the home.
There are some things that we expect naturally that women would do, like cooking, washing. Yes, once it becomes a responsibility.
Is that a natural construct or is it a social construct?
I think it has been there over time, so it has been a convention.
Yeah, it's not natural, necessarily. Right? Me need you, friend, me need you. You know I can't live without you. Tell them.
Up front on the Voice of America, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. So we're still exploring this issue of gender dynamic in the 21st century. And we had a panel of young college students. Obviously, their understanding of gender roles is way different from the predecessors, their parents and their grandparents. And the argument is that, you know, men and women essentially play the same role these days. And so the whole idea that traditional gender roles still exist is not true. And in the studio with me, I have Salem Solomon. She's a reporter, a teacher, an educator, young lady. Salem, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us today. So Salem, let's explore the idea that in diaspora communities, which we are, you know, African diaspora communities, gender roles change just because of the different realities that we're in.
So I've been in America for the past 7+ years. I'm originally from Eritrea. So gender roles in diaspora, in the diaspora, and how we view what gender roles mean to the communities here. If you are a first-generation immigrant to this country, you have a certain values, a certain way of living and how you perceive what to do after, let's say, if you have a 9-to-5 job or 8-to-5 job, you come home. And then if you are a woman, you come back to another work, of course, when you get home, you're supposed to
cook.
I don't know.
Look after the family.
Exactly.
You're the primary caretaker of the family. Yeah.
So by default, if you are wired to think that way from the culture that you come in, it's almost as if unspoken, tacit agreement between you and your other half or whoever you're living with.
And the family that you, you know,
if you have a family, a family you live with, if you have a husband, if you have children.
So there's an agreement that you're supposed to perform certain duties in the home, even though you just performed a 9-to-5 job.
By default, it's not like a spoken, a verbal agreement.
Right.
It's just known, unspoken agreement.
Right.
And the thing about these kind of roles, be it if you think of it from a gender perspective or not, it's just because it's been that way for how long?
Right. For many years.
Yeah.
For thousands of years or hundreds of years.
People who are on the bad deal of this whole agreement, if you would want to call it, are not really outspoken about their,
their plight.
their
you make
plight.
It sound like a really bad thing. But, you know, you raise a very, very interesting idea that there's unspoken role in diaspora communities, diaspora families, that a mother should come home and perform duties that, say, their mothers used to perform, which is to cook and look after the kids, even though in this new reality, they're also holding down corporate jobs.
Exactly.
They're also working 9-to-5 jobs. They will not abscond on their duties in the household.
Exactly. And but the older generation of the first generation immigrant here in the Western countries still value what they were brought up with,
right,
you know,
absolutely.
The
There's a very strong influence, still a very strong influence from their parents, from their grandparents.
Exactly.
What do men expect?
The reason why I was focusing on the first generation immigrants is because their children who are born and raised here
in
would have
US.
A different understanding of not just the culture and gender roles, but just because they have different values of Western values that they're
still rooted in a way in the values at home,
exactly.
Which is where they're seeing their mother do all these things. But
they because
they
are born and raised in a Western culture, that they understand their worth, if you could say.
Right.
And so balance is, I think, what the new generation is looking at. So balance of the division of work, division of labor, or even looking at chores at home or, you know, dividing it between gender.
So many of these kids grow up in families where they have never seen their dad go into the kitchen.
That's true.
Right?
It's a very good point.
So how will they go into a relationship demanding that their spouses or their partners also perform equal duties? And I know we kind of brought the conversation down to the kitchen because it's a very important aspect of our lives. But there are other duties that are many ways being segregated along gender roles.
That's true. You raise a very good point about, you know, you can't practice what you haven't been taught, what you don't know. And the thing about that is that the second generation immigrant population here are the most highly educated, and they're exposed to education. They know, they read these historical aspects of what means, what gender role means in the first place.
Right.
So they're coming from not just at home, but they're getting exposed to access that the first generation might not have had when they were in their home countries. And so that is how they're breaking the barriers. If not just practicing it, but at least being aware of it is how I think the future of having balanced lifestyle.
More egalitarian societies.
There you go.
Salem Solomon, thank you very much.
the flow. Never in the room, none of the fun. Shock us, would you watch it? You know, we're in the race, need to get blessed. I see Baba rap, the man you make come up, a piece of money verse. We're in the game, fit the permanence. Lyricist, yeah, Barusha dominance. Groovement, go back to this shit of man. Bara chiga kuya muri man, Tony to the level. Lyrical murderer, narimo one you man. The record me by kid wapuwa ninu nushi. Better get in the night, yo, need to count on the situ. Muna ya mapu rana office on your boy, guru too.
This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Now, we know that women were still very much the major players, or at least the biggest players in how a family was run, which is the smallest unit of a society. So if somebody is in control, is in charge of how a family is run, that says something about society and how they direct, how important their impact or their role is in society. So as we continue this conversation about traditional gender roles and whether they are socially constructed or not, I called my friend Marino Young, a writer based in Sweden, and we had an interesting conversation about her experience growing up in Rwanda as a young girl and the roles that were assigned to her by her mother.
Gender roles. Mm. Wow. I was raised by a traditional mother, African mother from Rwanda. And, you know, she did tell me what girls should do and what boys should do and what things that I'm not supposed to do. If she caught me climbing a tree, I was told off for climbing a tree while being a girl.
So girls don't do that.
Yes, we all learned how to cook, for example.
So there was a formal training in some aspects of what they considered female roles.
I guess it was more survival roles.
Survival roles.
My brothers and I were all in the kitchen at a certain point, and we're taught how to cook and to clean, and you know, the kind of things that any adult should know and take care of by themselves.
Not very many traditional African families have boys in the kitchen learning how to cook.
Well, we did. My brothers hated going back to school smelling like onions on their fingers because they had been cooking for 2 months.
but that was a decision made by your mom or by your father?
Yes, my mom. Okay. My mom was really the manager of the house in every aspect I could think of. She was the one who knew where everything was and what was needed and where to get it and when and everything.
But it's ironic that, you know, for a woman who was on one side chastising you for engaging in what she considered manly activities like tree climbing, she was in training your brothers to go to the kitchen to cook.
Yes, and I guess it was, I don't know how to explain it, probably to protect me, because she probably thought that if a boy falls and breaks his bones, he probably doesn't hurt as much as a girl. I don't know how
You thought she went all scientific on you like that?
I think at that time, I didn't think I was being protected. I thought I was just being, you know, disrespected. What do you mean I can't climb a tree?
Wait, but you think your mother actually had the only reason she stopped you from engaging in those activities was for fear that women are more prone to breaking and stuff like that?
She probably wanted to protect me from probably falling and breaking myself, but also in a broader context, you know, falling and breaking myself, hanging out with boys, I guess.
Hanging out with
Oscar.
Was protecting you from the opposite sex.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I shouldn't be so familiar with boys and think they're my friends, and yet, you know, boys are bad.
So, like I said earlier, you know, in many African homes, cooking is not really considered a manly, so to say, duty. But your mother did train you and your brothers how to put it down in the kitchen.
This is the surprising thing, that in the evenings when after dinner we all gather in the kitchen and do the dishwashing, And sometimes when my brothers were not at home and it was just me, my dad would help me because my mom had cooked.
Mm.
So my dad would help me wash the dishes. And I didn't realize it was strange until I told my friends about it, that I was washing the dishes with my dad, and they're like, what?
So your sisters-in-law have your mother to thank for the husbands who can cook right now. I'm quite sure they're very happy about that.
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I am aware of the fact that that is quite the exception. When you go with your family to visit people, your brothers will sit in the living room and chat with
absolutely.
Like, visitors. There are such things as traditional gender duties, I guess, or I don't know, classifications, things like that. But I think it makes a society richer to go beyond that, to teach a person to be able to do everything and find what they're really good at and do it well.
Now, there are people who say that traditional, what we know as traditional gender roles, are social constructs. They were socially constructed to keep women powerless. The female gender was on the receiving end.
You could see it that way. And in some cases, there are things that are quite strange. You know, did you know that in Rwanda, women were not allowed to eat goat meat? And the official story is that they will grow a beard if they eat goat meat.
Wow.
But we all know that it's delicious. At least the people who eat meat know that it's delicious and they just didn't want to share.
When did you overcome that fear to the point of testing it and realizing that your mothers or your grandmothers who never tested goat meat were actually being lied to the whole time? Who was the first courageous woman to?
I guess those grandmothers raised girls who could read a book and read a person and teach more than they learned themselves. Mm.
It was women who did not fear growing a beard, I guess.
Yes, I don't
courage
think
against
it was a
beard.
Man who said, let's share. It was a woman who said, why not?
And Rwanda is known to historically have very powerful women in roles of leadership. And up to now, Rwanda is mentioned as one of the countries that has the highest percentage of women in leadership
in
positions.
In parliament,
yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So it has something
Sweden,
to say that.
Ironically.
So let's go back a little bit to your mother. Did she ever train you in any other traditional quote-unquote roles?
Well, let's say, for example, we had this large compound that needed to be, we had to sweep every Saturday. None of my brothers ever took up a broom and did that. And when she came home on a Saturday afternoon and found the compound unswept, it was on me.
So they could
only
cook.
Only on me.
They could cook, but not sweeping. There was
the
a line there.
The sweeping was me only. No, because, well, I didn't have any sisters, only brothers. And that was my job, never theirs.
Wait, because
I never even questioned it, actually. It was like, sweeping is a girl's job.
But do you feel that you need a man in your life to be able to fulfill certain duties in terms of providing for the family? Because that is what fathers were for, to provide for the family.
They work and bring the money, and then the mom decides how to spend it.
Right.
Is that it? Well, honestly, no. I occasionally need somebody to zip me up when I'm wearing my,
And that's how many more you need the other person.
But honestly, if I can find a job and work and earn money to pay my bills, I don't see why somebody else should do that for me. If I meet somebody who's willing to do that, I probably won't tell them go away, but I'll explain to them how I feel about it. I don't think somebody has a job to take care of me financially. I don't think so.
And that brings us to the end of our show today.
I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @upfrontafrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi.
Have a great week.
You any food that you want to eat, I will surely go with you.